on shortwave, satellite, and the internet. This is Media Network Plus.
Hello, I'm Keith Powell, and welcome to the program. Now, let me ask you a question. Have you ever heard this radio station before?
But here on Radio Biafra, we insist. In fact, we maintain our indefatigable stance on the restoration of Biafra, regardless of the price we have to pay, regardless of the cost. We will meet it head on, and Biafra will come at the end of this very process. Therefore, wherever you are, if you're joining us for the very first time, if you're not accustomed to our brand, our style of dissemination of this very gospel from heaven, then I suggest very strongly that you tell your friends and family about it. Because all over the world, on their transistor radios, men, women, and children are listening via shortwave on 15560 kilohertz on the 19 meter band. The same thing is happening all across Biafra land on CHK 102.1, Biafra FM 104.1. 105.7. It doesn't matter where you find us. It doesn't matter how you have elected or chosen to listen. Radio Biafra is live and direct on radio. Nobody can complain. They cannot listen to us. They are arresting our people, asking us for money, which is kidnapping and abduction. We have been tweeting all day. In fact, I've been tweeting from last night. To let the whole world know what's happening, I have also...
Well, that was a radio station called Radio Biafra. Now, just a little bit about Biafra, or as they officially like to be recognized, the Republic of Biafra. It was a secession state in southern Nigeria that existed between 1967 and 1970. Now, it's of course a very difficult situation right now because it's part of the Nigerian Civil War, which is also known as the Nigerian Biafran War. Now, why do I talk about this station? Well, just over a week ago, I received an email from a gentleman saying that they were looking for airtime. Now, as you're probably aware, PCJ Radio International does relay some other international broadcasters. But the email was a little bit peculiar, because they said they were looking for frequencies that can target North America, South America, Middle East, Europe, East Asia, Southeast Asia, and Australia. Now, the reason why that seemed strange to me, because if you're a small organization, to target all these areas for what they wanted, 2 hours a day, 7 days a week, you're talking about a lot of money. And I suspected that they really didn't know what they were doing, and I, for a moment, I really thought it was a spam email. So I then sent it off to a friend of mine who works at another relay station, saying, you know, we've seen some very strange emails from time to time from people wanting to buy airtime. Here's one of them. And I forwarded it off to him. 24 hours later, he responded back saying, oh, I know them. This is Radio Biafra. I asked a few other questions in a following email. Well, what about them? And he told me, well, they had been relaying them for 2 months, but the contract was coming to an end because even though they actually had a longer contract, they decided to tell them that their last day of transmission was October 31st, only after 2 months, because reports had been coming back to them saying that the station has been inciting violence, and then some people were killed as a result. So this is a clandestine station that is broadcasting a message which is, at times, you can actually call it hate radio. Now, I really didn't know much about them, and the more I looked into it, the more I realized that this is really a strange organization in itself. Now, their final transmission in their email to me was, they said, we're looking for somebody to begin transmitting our program for 2 hours a day to Africa and everywhere else. And I said, that's going to cost a lot of money. And they said, well, how about Africa? I said, yeah, that we can do. And it was a little bit strange. because I said, this is after I found out that a friend of mine who works at a relay, where they were already relaying them, what have you been doing so far? And he said, oh, we had to terminate the contract. Well, not exactly. The contract was terminated. And then he started asking questions like, oh, I hope you're not going to use facilities from the BBC or Radio France International because they don't like us. Well, after doing a little bit of research, I found out that, well, not just Babcock and TDF out of France, but also Media Broadcast and every other shortwave relay organization is also trying to avoid them. Even here in Taiwan, I contacted Radio Taiwan and asked them if they had ever heard of them. And they said, yes, they contacted us this week. What do you know about them? And anyway, I passed along the information that I knew. Now, Radio Biafra, also known as the Voice of Biafra, is a clandestine radio station. It operates out of London. And the program broadcasts speeches from people in Biafra, not just speeches, but also a lot of propaganda as well. The station is also on satellite and the internet, and they also have a television station. Now, the program has been preaching hate messages against Nigeria, which it refers to as a zoo. Yes, it calls Nigeria a zoo. Now, let me give you another taste of the kind of programs that they put out. This, by the way, was recorded directly off shortwave before they went off last week.
Good evening, wonderful people, great. Dear friends, wherever you are, on the face of this very planet, on this very day, the third day of October, in the year of our Lord, 2016, with the time here now in London standing at exactly 7:03 p.m. in the evening, we welcome each and every one of you, regardless of where you are listening, how you are listening, because this is your radio station. This is Radio Biafra, a platform ordained by heaven itself for the very ceaseless and seamless...
Radio Biafra, of course, is using shortwave to reach its audience because they're not able to have transmitters in Nigeria. They did have two for a while, 102.1 FM and 97.6 FM. That's the latest information. I'm not sure if they have some pirate transmitters that they're using. Earlier this week, it was reported that the Nigerian National Broadcasting Commission decided to take over Radio Biafra's shortwave frequency, i.e. jamming it, with a counter-program with announcements that the station was closing down forever. Radio Biafra, of course, which used the frequency of 15560, the 19-meter band, from 7 to 9 p.m. Nigerian time, was knocked off the air on that frequency on Saturday. Now, the program that the NBC was putting on the air had messages in Hausa and in English, and were playing well-known war songs from the area, from the Civil War. And this is a little sampling of what the first message that was repeated constantly over a two-hour period sounded like.
Anyị bụ ndị Igbo chọrọ udo na ịfụnanya na ọganihu. Anyị achọrọzi ndị Biafra. Anyị niile bụ ndị Igbo. Anyị chọrọ udo. Anyị achọrọzi mosop. Anyị ncha niile bụ ndị Naịjirịa. Biafra anwụgo. Biafra anwụ n'oge 45 years ụbọchị gara aga. Anyị bụ ndị Igbo. Anyị chọrọ udo. Anyị ga-ebite aka. Nke a nụwa bụ Radio Biafra na-ekwu. This is Radio Biafra closing down forever.
That was a clip of a broadcast put out on the same frequency used by Radio Biafra from the Nigerian National Broadcasting Commission, or the NBC. A translation of what was said in Hausa is almost to the effect of, "We, the La Voz, want love and progress. We do not want Biafra. We are all La Voz. We want peace. We do not want Masobo. We are Nigerians. Biafra is dead. Biafra died 45 years ago. We are Lebos. We want peace. We want live long This is Radio Biafra Live. This is Radio Biafra closing down forever. Now, during the songs, as I said, messages were going out in English and Hausa. And now let's take a listen to the English version of what they were saying. Some of it is quite short.
This is Radio Biafra closing down forever. We are Nigerians. We are proud as Nigerians. We want peace, unity, and progress. There is no Biafra. All Igbos are for peace. Biafra is dead. We are Nigerians. No more Mosop. We are Igbos. We are happy Nigerians. Biafra died 45 years ago. Long live Nigeria. This is Radio Biafra. This is Radio Biafra. Closing down forever. Whoever is talking Biafra does not like Ndibo. Ndibo are proud Nigerians. Long live Federal Republic of Nigeria. My name is Nkendelem Chukwuemeka.
La ilaha illallah. After information about what Radio Biafra is and what has been happening over the past few days, I did contact the person from Radio Biafra who contacted me about leasing time. They didn't respond back. The director of the clandestine broadcaster was arrested on the 17th of October by the Nigerian Department of State Services. He was arraigned on October the 19th and was granted bail in the sum of 2 million Nigerian dollars. As of yet, he still hasn't been released from jail, and they are continuing to put their program out on the internet. But as of yet, they still haven't found a shortwave frequency. If you do come across them at some point after you hear this program, do let us know, because we'd like to do a follow-up on this. You're listening to Media Network Plus, coming to you from PCJ Radio International.
The Spectrum Monitor is a monthly electronic magazine covering shortwave, amateur radio, scanning, satellites, Wi-Fi, and vintage radio, which is available for any device capable of opening a PDF file. The Spectrum Monitor also covers amateur radio satellites, maritime and military monitoring on shortwave, reviews of receivers, scanners, and software used for shortwave, and more. Annual subscriptions for 12 issues is only $24, with individual monthly issues available for $3 each. If you're already a subscriber, you can renew your subscription by clicking on the Sign Up for 2015 button. MasterCard, Visa, Discover, and PayPal are accepted. For more details, visit our website at www.thespectrummonitor.com.
Well, this week, Dan Robinson, formerly of The Voice of America, posted a very interesting story on his own page and on the Facebook page for PCJ Radio. It's about the Federal Communications Commission and China Radio International. Now you're saying to yourself, wait a second, the FCC does not have jurisdiction over CRI. They don't, but in the US, they possibly do. Now, the news organization Reuters did an expose, that's probably the better word you can choose for it, on the covert Chinese radio network that's operating in the United States. It also operates in Europe and also in Australia and a number of other countries as well. Now, this is the article. I'll read it as it was printed. And I've cut, of course, certain things out to shorten it. But the Federal Communications Commission and the Justice Department are investigating a California firm whose U.S. radio broadcasts are backed by a subsidiary of the Chinese government, i.e. China Radio International. Both investigations come in response to a Reuters report published last Monday that revealed the existence of a covert radio network which broadcasts in more than a dozen American cities, including Washington, Philadelphia, Boston, Houston, and San Francisco. Based on reports, the FCC will initiate an inquiry into the facts surrounding foreign ownership issues raised in the stories, including whether the Commission's statutory foreign ownership rules have been violated. The California Forum, which distributes the programming, is owned by James Su, a naturalized U.S. citizen born in Shanghai. His company, GNE Studio, is 60% owned by a subsidiary of the Chinese state-run broadcaster China Radio International. The FCC doesn't restrict content on U.S. radio stations, except for rules covering indecency, political advertisement, and children's programming. But under U.S. law, the FCC prohibits foreign governments and their representatives from holding a radio license for the U.S. broadcast station. Foreign individuals, governments, and corporations are permitted to hold 20% ownership directly in a station and up to 25% in the U.S. parent corporation of the station. G&E does not own any U.S. radio stations, but it leases two 50,000-watt radio stations, WCRW in Washington, for $720,000 a year. That's a lot of money. And WNWR in Philadelphia for more than $600,000 a year. The news programming on the CRI-backed stations is closely linked to the Chinese government line on a host of issues, including the current military standoff in the South China Sea between China and the United States. Now, this is something not, how would I put it, unusual. As I said, CRI has many of these stations worldwide. Now, I need to go back about just over 10 years. When I was at China Radio International, I was managing a department whose job was to produce programs that would air on foreign radio stations, mainly radio stations in the United States, in Europe, and many other places. And I always had to wonder how many people are listening. This was a question that I would ask very often to people in CRI, the managers who were above me, who were in charge of finances. And by the way, finances, that's a whole completely different show. How many listeners, and who was the target audience? Well, one day I started to get a little bit suspicious because one of my managers came to me and said, "You should be happy. China Radio International is going to be carried for 18 hours a day at some town, and the name I can't remember right now, in Belarus." In English, by the way. And I remember opening up an atlas, looking for this town, and thinking, wait a second, this is nowhere near the capital of the country. And English is not widely spoken even in the capital. I doubt it's spoken here. But they're going to be putting out this program for 18 hours a day, using 2 kilowatts, and spending a lot of money. Hence, I suspected the audience would be farm animals. Now, this is actually not an unusual thing. Now, when I was running the department, we did have shows that aired on some commercial stations, individual shows, half an hour here and a half an hour there. And, of course, then the big blocks of like 12 and 18 hours. But again, it was always the question of how many people are listening. Well, just before I left China Radio International, I contacted the Nielsen organization in the United States. Nielsen is one of the largest groups that looks into radio ratings and also television and also newspapers and everything else. So I said, look, I want you to find out how many people listen to the following stations in this city, and this city between these hours and these hours. Just over a month later, they got back to me, and my mouth dropped open. I wouldn't say that, because I wasn't completely surprised. The programs that we did have running in three major U.S. cities had an audience of a roughly less than 5,000 a week. The audience listening time was per hour 1 to 200 people, with an average listening time of 10 to 15 minutes. There were even blocks of time where they put the audience at even smaller. Now, many of you may be saying to yourself, well, wait a minute, because to buy airtime on a FM or radio station in a big city in the U.S. is not going to be cheap, so why would China Radio International do it? Well, for two reasons. If you think that it's wanting to have listeners, you're very much mistaken on that one. It is more about propaganda. Ah, yes, propaganda. But not the kind of propaganda that you may be thinking of. Not the kind of propaganda where they can say, ah, yes, we're broadcasting it to an audience and we know that people are listening and we can really put the Chinese view and not report on stories and report on stories and change the facts and everything else. Not that kind of propaganda. But the kind of propaganda that is known as internal propaganda. Now, when I was at China Radio International, I can honestly tell you that many times when officials at CRI and managers would submit reports to various government departments, mainly the government departments that would supply China Radio International with its budget, to fiddle with the figures wasn't an unusual thing. It really wasn't. It was quite a common practice. So, if the top leadership at China Radio International, let's say, visits the Ministry of Information and says, look, you know, we need a budget increase, because we're broadcasting on dozens of radio stations in the U.S. using 50,000 watts and we have all these listeners. Guess what that means? That means they'll get a bigger budget. Because none of the top leadership within the Ministry of Information or the Politburo or the Central Committee would even ask, well, how many listeners do you have? That concept is still not there yet. And I remember in one occasion at a station in New York that was carrying programming from China Radio International, one of the officials from the Ministry of Information did ask that question, well, how many listeners do you have? And the manager, who is no longer at China Radio International, he's now at Central China Television, told them, oh, we have around 4 million listeners a week. Well, they didn't have 4 million listeners a week. It was less than probably 5,000 or 6,000. But what he was calculating is how many listeners can they reach? You see, there is a difference between how many people are listening and how many people are reachable. Now, very often when Central China Television or even CRI puts out audience figures, for example, CCTV has said in the past they have an audience of 32 million a week. When you press the issue, they say, well, we reach 32 million people. Okay, you reach 32 million people. You just said you have 32 million people that watch. How many people do you actually have watch? And then they quickly change to another subject. So this should be an interesting turn of events to see what happens. It really should. And I'm really wondering if this is going to do anything or it's going to prevent these stations from just accepting, you know, $500,000 and relaying programming from the Chinese government. Now, the other scary thing about this is that it's not maybe a full 24-hour schedule. So if they're buying, say, 12 hours of time, the rest of the time the station has to do its own programming with news bulletins. And it has been seen a number of times before radio stations that are booked maybe for 18 hours a day or 12 hours a day or 10 hours a day, whatever it is, in their own news bulletins, they're also censoring themselves. Of course, they're not being censored by censors from China Radio International, but they're in a position, well, the Chinese are saying this and they're paying it for 10 hours here. We have to watch what we say. Now, does that send a good message or a good precedent? Not really. Anyway, as this story develops, we'll bring you more on it. You're listening to Media Network Plus, coming to you from PCJ Radio International. In a moment, Glenn Hauser with this week's propaganda. Oh, sorry, I shouldn't have said that. I mean, Glenn Hauser with the propagation. If they both begin with P, you know what I mean.
The British DX Club is one of the world's leading DX clubs, with hundreds of members both in the UK and around the globe. BDXE produce a comprehensive monthly magazine called Communication, covering all aspects of the DXing hobby. The BDXE Audio Circle is also available and is a monthly program of DX catches and general chat about radio. For more information, please write to the British DX Club, 10 Hemdene Hill, Caversham, Reading, RG4, 7SB in the United Kingdom, or visit the website at www.bdxc.org.uk. That's www.bdxc.org.uk.
Well, it is time now to turn to propagation, not propaganda, with our propagation editor, Glenn Hauser. Glenn?
Keith, from IPS in Australia, the global HF propagation forecast through November 7th. Normal at low latitudes, normal to fair at middle to high latitudes. From Space Weather South Africa through November 6th, magnetic conditions quiet to unsettled, shortwave fadeouts unlikely, MUF unstable. From Met Office UK through November 8th, solar activity moderate with further M-class flares likely. Geomagnetic activity quiet to unsettled, a slight 10 to 20% chance of solar radiation storms. From Peter Kohlmann in Prague, the geomagnetic field will be quiet to unsettled on November 6th, 10th, and 25th. Quiet to active November 7th to 9th and 11th to 13th. Mostly quiet November 14th and 17th through 24th. Quiet on November 15th and 16th. From the NOAA Space Weather Prediction Center in Boulder, geomagnetic field unsettled to active November 6th and November 13th to 14th, 16th to 17th, otherwise quiet to unsettled. ANK indices peaking at 20 and 5 on November 14th, 12 and 4 on the 17th. Lowest indices of 5 and 2 on November 9th to 12th, 15th, and 18th to 25th. Solar flux peaking at 125 November 6th to 9th, dipping to 105 November 20th to 22nd. There was an off-season sporadic ETVDX opening up to 70 MHz from Mexico to Oklahoma the morning of November 4th. William Hepburn's VHF-UHF-DX maps predict extreme tropospheric ducting all week off the coast of West Africa around Cape Verde, also off Angola, Namibia, Mozambique, and Madagascar, and northwestern Australia, as well as inside the Gulf of Carpentaria.
All right, thank you very much, Glenn, for this week's propagation forecast, not propaganda. If you wish to contact us, our email address is mnp@pcjmedia.com. Also, I want to remind you again about the special broadcast that we have from November the 14th to December the 26th. You can find all the information at our website, www.pcjmedia.com. On behalf of the whole team, I'm Keith Powell, wishing you well, saying so long, take care. 73 and 88 to the ladies.